Hello, World Walkers. Yes, I'm talking to you. Welcome to World Talkers, an Evermore fan podcast. Lend us your ear, learn something new, and develop a mutual obsession. Goblins, dragons, charismatic executioners, and more await as we unravel the secrets that lay beyond the portal of Evermore.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? I am Daniel with the World Talkers. Welcome to the World Talkers, an official Evermore fan cast. Today, we're going to be starting a new series, and we'll get into talking to that, what that is, what it's going to be, kind of our views on it, and what our hopes for it are going to be moving forward. But before we get into that, let's introduce the other hosts. We'll just start over here to my left.
Hello, my name is Skylar. I am a part of, I'm one of them hosty boys that does this talking thing that we do.
Brilliant. And if I took another left to it, I find...
You find Chandler. How's it going, everyone? My name is Chandler, as I said. Super glad to be with you today. Hope everyone's doing well, and just hope you're all being your amazing human selves.
Fantastic. You know, the human self, that is an important thing, and we'll be talking a little bit more about that shortly. But talking, if you didn't see already in our title, this is going to be a new series that we're going to be running called Elevating Evermore. We'll be taking Evermore and discussing it through different lenses varying weeks. We'll be approaching sort of different topics. We'll be playing around with the format, I'm certain, in weeks to come, because we're still figuring out exactly what we want to do with it. But look forward to us having these conversations here with you. And then as well, I think our hope is ultimately going to be to have conversations with the greater community as well, to kind of integrate not just our thoughts, but everyone's thoughts into what we're doing here. That way the dialogue is able to continue before we do these episodes, here during the episode, and well after that. So the sort of brief thesis, I would say, of this series would be sort of broken down like this, akin to any great film, novel, or other form of expression. Evermore is worthy of artistic analysis. Theme and motif bleed from every brick that built the park. As a medium for entertainment, it provides a canvas wherein masterwork experiences are crafted. Lifelong memories are forged there. So it stands to reason that an experience worthy to be remembered for a lifetime ought to provide us insights worth examining. And so today, our topic that we're going to be discussing through the lens of Evermore is humanity. And before we get into the topic there, we just kind of want to sort of date this episode and kind of provide a little bit of insight into our stance on some things going on in the world right now. Right now, we're in the midst of the sort of largest Black Lives Matter movement ever, one of the largest civil rights campaigns ever taking place across the United States. And although we are three white guys who, you know, have lived decently privileged lives, we still want to be able to use our platform and our voices to say, listen to those whose experiences differ from your own, regardless of your skin color, but especially acknowledging that, you know, just noticing who you are, where you've come from, and where things may differ for you from others. Evermore teaches us that people live in a different reality than we do there. But even in the quote-unquote real world, there are people who step out of their doors every day. They step beyond the portal into a reality different than your own. So listen and understand other people's realities. Understand that there are people who need to be heard and who haven't been listened to for a very long time, whose voices are finally being heard. So listen, Black Lives Matter. Your life matters. And just remember that. And so now let's kind of get into the rest of our episode. Let's talk about humanity and Evermore.
I think one of this specific topic, the reason why we chose it is that it sets that foundation of what the future conversations will be. Humanity and the things that we will be discussing through Evermore ultimately relate back to one's self. the things that we experience, things like love and death, grief and heroism, good versus evil. I mean, there's plenty that we can talk about today and obviously break down moving forward even. And needless to say, I think elevating Evermore is here to stay because it has that wide variety of topics and artistic analysis to draw back into.
And we kind of started this conversation back on a previous episode about fantasy. We loved discussing more in-depth things. And as we continue forward, we want to keep doing that and also get your opinions on this. So as Dan said, you know, contribute to the conversation. We would love to hear from you. And also, I personally would love to hear from you guys. So please be honest, open, you guys being my wonderful co-hosts here, Dan and Skylar. Let's be open and you know, we're not all going to have the exact same opinions on the matter or on any matter. But just looking through the lens of Evermore and your own personal experiences, let's get talking. So what exactly does humanity mean to you guys? What is humanity? That's a huge question.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
what is humanity?
It's a massive topic to tackle. And, you know, this episode that will probably be somewhere about in the ballpark of an hour is not, like, I will acknowledge this as it's not sufficient to talk about everything that could possibly fit into it. It's going to sort of this is really just kind of our space to start even more of a conversation about things. You know, when you think about humanity, it is something that can be so simple, but also so remarkably complex. It can be broken down to just being defined simply as a term defining the collective human race. But the nature of humanity is something that is still, you know, in that small definition, broken down and studied across both the sort of quote unquote soft and hard sciences. And it was back in 2015, it was the subject of a competition run by the Bill Gates Foundation, right? For a thing called the Big History Project. So there's clearly more to it than just a small definition. There is this episode to talk about it, and honestly, I would be surprised if it is not ultimately foundationally something that shows up in most of these episodes that we're going to be doing and elevating Evermore. These topics that we talk about here could be further broken down, and I'm certain that the things that we talk about here we will be seeing in future episodes as their own episode, just because they're all so integral to the thing. You know, fantasy, our episode on fantasy was sort of what I would say the one of many brushes that are used to sort of paint our reality and to paint our experience. And I think what it is ultimately painting is a portrait of our humanity. So that's kind of where, as y'all were saying, you know, this is where, why we want to start here is like, what is this thing that we're even experiencing? What is this canvas that we are painting on? What is this painting that we are creating that is our existence as humans? What is humanity?
And to kind of just start us off and kind of dig into this, I just did a quick etymology search on what the word humanity actually means, just because I'm a word nerd. And just coming from the old French, it just simply means human nature, like you said. And I personally love it that it means specifically the human nature that is good, or that those are mostly the examples being given is humane conduct, kindness, good breeding, refinement, kindness, graciousness, politeness, and consideration for others. That thing that connects us all as humans.
That's a curious thing, because it brings up something that could be an entire other podcast in terms of where does morality fit into humanity? But that's a big topics to like potentially yeah. to explore there. Right. Yeah.
It just, the word itself, and I actually really like that the topic that we're covering today is can be broken down, just what connects us as humans. I think so often right now, especially right now, on both sides of any conversations, we see examples of vitriol, of hatred, you know, of not listening to one another. But we want to take the conversation and see and analyze through the lens of Evermore, what does it mean for all the things that connects us, the good things, the things that when we say we are proud to be humans, these are the things that, that come up. So very interesting there. We could definitely also, and probably will, talk about the other gross side. We need to acknowledge both sides of the of any conversations. But just in particular, kind of just starting off, what does Evermore teach us about compassion? This idea of compassion for another human and humanity for itself.
Yeah, I would say in terms of like what Evermore teaches there, I would say that compassion is one of the fundamental underlying factors of humanity. It was this was one of the things that was brought up in our sort of small-ish Facebook conversations that we, you know, had. We had some small responses to the beginning of this project. Hopefully it grows over time. But it was brought up that one of the fundamental lessons that people have learned in Evermore is the idea of compassion. And it was brought up specifically through the actions of the townsfolk and those from beyond the portal as well, during the deep freeze when Sylviana and Sfani froze the town. You know, it was a moment that was clear that either things were going to get immeasurably worse, or action was going to have to be taken to stop it. And people chose to act. People chose to see the suffering of the people around them and say, I do not accept this. I don't accept that this is going to be the reality. I don't accept that this can not be changed. I see the suffering, and I know that I have to act in order to make a difference.
Also, can we just note here, even outside of the story, we saw this when the Worldwalkers, when the guests realized that the actors, in a very real way,
quite literally, were suffering.
They were suffering because the townsfolk, if you were not there, the townsfolk were, they froze, literally freezing in moment, not quite literal, but just not moving. They were completely still. And some of them did not choose the best position to hold poses, for.
Yes.
Some of them were holding up swords and spears.
I'm looking at you, Rorst. You had one of like that man's shoulders at the end of the night. I can only imagine that those things were burning the way he was holding that spear.
His whole spear was elevated.
It looked dope, but I could tell man's in pain.
Right. Yeah. And just on a very real, both in this moment of story where it was like, no, this isn't good, but also in these moments of real life where it was like, hi, are you doing okay? Can I help you? That's the only thing I would add to that is we saw compassion in both instances.
Yes. Yes. That night. And I would absolutely say that's a very important part you bring up. You know, the lessons that you are learning about all of these things that we're going to be talking about at Evermore come about because of legitimate interaction, you know, like, and a sincere connection. They were able to have the moment of, oh my goodness, we need to help everybody, because looking around, you could tell this is a situation that was going to be uncomfortable for these people, you know, like it made sense that in their discomfort, I needed to act to improve that. And that is, again, that's going to be the recurring theme through everything we discuss in the Elevating Evermore series, is it's because you are making real connections that are teaching you these real lessons. So just that moment was something that taught people that, you know, Evermore is going to be a place that is synonymous with understanding others' suffering and learning to act to supplant suffering with something better, you know, even if it's just marginally better, can we improve it? And can we improve it from there and so on and so forth? So just an interesting, I want to say this was a post by someone named Dylan. I don't want to throw out everybody's names because I didn't ask for permission yet, but thank you for your contribution there, because I think that it is truly like the foundational aspect of humanity and ultimately what Evermore teaches, this idea of compassion.
We also saw compassion, just kind of as I'm looking and off the top of my head, we saw compassion for a couple different characters, honestly. Compassion for those who have died, those who have passed on through Wen, Faldo, and Kaderin, specifically thinking of Imelda there as well. You know, that she had all of these instances, and even these instances where another character showed compassion on her as she mourned the loss of her friend, or wept openly as she was struggling that night, right? Of the Great Freeze, she did a lot. And I just remember the very vivid, very poignant photo of Kaderin and Imelda together as he kind of held her. She just kind of wept in exhaustion and in, you know, whatever it may have been. But honestly, that is such a very strong moment of compassion there. Compassion that she protected her friends, protected the town, and was able to shoulder that for a little moment there. Very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really like that Night of the Great Freeze. There's a lot there.
There is a lot to be broken down there. I would say, like, you know, Evermore does a lot, you know, on like the small scale of interactions, teaching you a lot of lessons. But I think, you know, in the bigger moments, like it's a lot easier to see those sort of big themes come through. So I guess I would just invite people, you know, as they continue to go to Evermore and experience it, you know, when you see bigger moments, take those, try to find the lessons that are in them. And then when you come back, look for those things you learned again in these smaller like instances and in the smaller interactions and these smaller scale things, because those small strokes that are painted over the course of weeks and weeks and weeks are ultimately what paint those larger pictures that allow those big things to come through. Like the Night of the Big Freeze was a payoff of weeks of these themes building, you know, and like the payoff was the lesson, you know. Pretty just interesting stuff.
I think there's also a lot to be said in regards of compassion to storylines that they've shown out of. Not only is it good to have compassion towards your fellow world walkers and characters, but also towards yourselves. There are certain character instances that I see specifically with Badger. He did not have a lot of self-compassion, and you could kind of watch as it destroyed him. Even when he helped, he just felt he didn't have any other choice. Similar things to look at is like back when Kaderin became into his human form, and he was beating himself up because he had lied to the fairies about why he disappeared from Mythos and why he never returned. He didn't let them know that he was sick and turned into this monster, and it created a lot of problems. The fairies divided between themselves about, we're angry and we forgive you. And Kaderin just couldn't forgive himself for quite a while because he felt that he had caused that rift between them. So it's very interesting how I would consider some of those, I guess, smaller moments as well, because it teaches you, hey, just be like, okay with yourself for like, I mean, especially with the, you can't change things that have happened in the past, but you can change things moving forward. And the best way to make a change, in my opinion, is to first change yourself. That's really the only true mode of change that you can make happen is yourself. You can control everything that you do. So do it. Change, work on changing yourself. It may not be easy, but it's what ultimately makes the biggest change.
Yeah. And it's a, there's oh man, like there's like a thousand things to bring up because there's like so many pieces of the conversation that can go so many places. But with that in particular, like looking at a character like Zodi, you know, he's a character that kind of makes you question what is myself? What is this individual that I'm supposed to have compassion to? Who am I supposed to acknowledge to begin with, to begin the process of change and improvement? Who am I at my core as a human being, you know? He teaches like this process of meditation, guided meditation, sort of mindfulness practices, tuning into who you are, how you feel, what's going on in your personal experience at the time. Because I think at the end of the day, like I think Zodi would teach that, you know, mindfulness and meditation won't make all of the exterior problems go away. Like you said, Skylar, like it isn't going to make people's pasts go away. It isn't going to make the challenges they're facing go away, but it will change their capacity to understand that they are themselves whole and capable of acting and doing what they need to do. The self-compassion ultimately allows for a sort of self-realization. And so it's a curious idea, you know, though everything could appear insurmountable before the realization of self, understanding that who you are and your part in things changes the way you approach so much in life. And that begins, as I would say Zodi would teach, with that self-compassion, that knowing that you are loved and you are worthy of unconditional love type of a deal, as he frequently says, but that first needs to be given by yourself. So yes, 100% agree. Evermore teaches that self-compassion is just as important, if not more important, because that is when you can actually begin to play the role of somebody who understands who they are and how they can give compassion and who you are. It's so important. What is humanity? Who are you as a human being? And what can you do? So it's a lot of bloviation from me there, but like I just agree. I agree.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with your analysis there. There's a great power that comes in recognizing that you can change. The next question to follow after that is what is my reason for changing? What is my purpose in changing? What do I want to change about myself and what do I want to do moving forward? And again, Evermore is just a wonderful example of that. Again, once Kaderin learns how to move forward, he does. Once, who was it? The Frost Lords that went against Idalessa. What's her name? I forget her name.
Sora and
Bastion.
Bastion. So Sora didn't want to be a part of. It wanted to be her own person. She didn't want to be under the thumb of her mother, and so she
wanted to self-actualize.
Exactly. And so she developed a new purpose, and that purpose was to realize, like, was first for her to recognize that I can change. I do not need to continually follow this. I have an opportunity. So let's find the new purpose. Zodi is all about finding the reason, the purpose for living, which is why he, you know, it expresses so much love and peace to people, is because he's like, look, for me, a large part of my purpose is sharing love and light with people so that they too can find happiness. And I'm just like, that's love. That very interesting.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, you're bringing up the topic of purpose, and I think we're going to be getting that. That's a fantastic little, jumping off point for us to talk about what I think we're going to be sort of naturally moving into here. But I guess I would just want to say, like, just in sort of response to that, you know, like there's so much to, again, so much to be learned about what Evermore has to teach about compassion. Like some of the some of the greatest thinkers in the world have spoken very highly about compassion. Immanuel Kant did not. Something. This is just a fun little thing that I found about him, and I'm like, man, if only he had the chance to go to Evermore to see why he was so wrong. He said, such benevolence is called soft-heartedness and should not occur at all among human beings. So very curious. Immanuel Kant had some great ideas in some places, but, oh, how foolish. If only, again, he had the chance to attend Evermore, he would learn that compassion is central to the human existence. His categorical imperatives didn't teach him about humanity well enough, it seems. But I guess, but before we step into to this, you know, topic of purpose that you brought up, Skylar, do you guys have any final thoughts on why you think compassion is, you know, to address the topic for the day, why compassion is central to the discussion on humanity? Why is compassion a part of that? And then as well, do you have any final thoughts on what Evermore's role is there, specifically on compassion?
That's a very good question. What comes to mind is that the thing that you do in Evermore is change people's stories. That's kind of like what they invite you to do. They invite you to be the hero, to act, which I think kind of ties back to that purpose or that reason why. And I think compassion in and of itself can be the purpose. Because you have to have something that motivates you to do more, to help these people out. Because if you don't have compassion for yourself or for other people, you can't find a purpose to want to do those things. So it provides a very natural stepping off point of you showing up and deciding to take an analytical mindset of, am I going to assist or am I going to hinder? Is that what I want to do here? I'm not really sure how to sum that up, but that's just kind of what came to mind and my thoughts on that.
Sure. I mean, I think that's a great point. I mean, in terms of, you know, I think just as a basis for everyone's understanding of who they are, I think it's a good question for them to be able to take anywhere in terms of, you know, that lesson that they learn at Evermore. How am I going to help? How am I going to show this compassion? Is a fundamental question to, like, answering the question, how am I going to engage with my humanity? You know, that's not something people ask themselves every day, because it's a weird question to ask yourself every day. But I think, you know, we do it in different ways, but I think the idea surrounding compassion ultimately serves to answer the question, or be an answer to the question, how am I going to engage that this deeper part of myself, the thing that is my human nature, what is my nature, and I am going to choose for it to be compassion. I'm going to choose for it to be empathy. I'm going to choose for it to be a greater sense of connection. That's an awesome answer, Skylar. I agree.
Thank you.
I actually really loved that last portion of what you were talking about, Dan. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. I'm a fount of insight. Let it be known. Let it be known.
All hail the wise Daniel.
It is I, just wise Daniel.
For me, right, like, I really think that compassion and listening, which is a vehicle for compassion, is 100% central to Evermore. We have seen so often, just us as guests, and sometimes we are guilty of this, but sometimes we have things that we want to share or some things that we want to ask, and the person talking says something. We are so busy in our own thoughts or whatever that we have missed what they have told us. Whether that is a story hook that they would like us to catch on to, whether that is something central to that character and something that is making the actor think and kind of go there. But I think that empathy for me and that compassion really is why, I really do think that's why Evermore is so special, that it allows us to have that compassion and to empathize and see sometimes the supposed villain is just someone who has a different thought process than we do. that we don't fully understand. And when we take a moment to talk to them, to see what they have to say, and we listen, sometimes either their thought process has changed, or the way that we see them is changed, akin to Spider Princess Ariadne, where originally, or after kind of the big reveal, she was thought to be kind of this villain. But then we came to understand that she was just seeing the world in a different way than we were. And simply we just needed to empathize and have compassion for her to have that moment, right? Sorry, I just am kind of lost in my thoughts. I really do think that this compassion element and really this humanity, this realness that not everyone gets at Evermore, but there are these moments that highlight this realness that make the park so special. And it allows me as a person, as I am coping through whatever problems that I have, it allows me to look at my own humanity and see if there are things that I need to change, or if there are things that I really like that I want to continue doing.
I love it.
So many thoughts.
Yeah.
So
many thoughts. No, I love it. Tying back into that idea of, self-compassion, self-understanding. It's a key to unlocking a greater understanding of what are you going to do with whatever it is that you confront in life. One of the first things you can do is have compassion with yourself, be able to find that answer. That's a cool thought, Chandler.
And to go right back to what Skylar was saying, and to act accordingly, and
yes,
to give yourself a lot of purpose.
Yes.
It Evermore really exemplifies a lot of trying to help people find their purpose.
Yeah.
I think in a lot of ways, because it allows you to step out of this reality into one that you can analyze a little bit more, one that you can more easily recognize what is going on. You see these characters and you know that they're story players, so they must have a goal. What are they seeking for? How can I help them achieve it? Or how can I stop them from achieving it? Such as like with Dimitri or Maxwell, we actively want to find our purpose of, do we assist or do we hinder? Do we help the townsfolk or do we not help the townsfolk? And it's a very interesting perspective on which purpose relates you to humanity. If you sided with Maxwell, I think generally people would agree that your morals seem dubious then. And granted, the park is a place to be safe and explore these, ulterior kind of evilly moments, I suppose, considering, Maxwell wanted to like murder everybody. But it also gives you an opportunity to experience, well, what do those types of people like? How do I understand that version of humanity or lack thereof to better understand myself and what it is that gives me humanity? And I do that by seeing and helping out the townsfolk and knowing like, oh yes, this is something that I think is good. This is something that I would like to be a part of. This is something that I didn't necessarily like. I think that it's not a good thing. And you can really find that out when an Evermorian just gives you a task. It's like, hey, take this thing. And then, you take some gold to this person and then they're like, thanks, I really appreciate it. And you're like, for sure. And then come to find out that they used you as a money mule for smuggling so they couldn't get caught by Ozymandias. And you're like, well, I don't like that anymore. I need to be introspective on what my stance is in this scenario. It's very interesting.
There's a lot to be said for, what Evermore is capable of teaching us when it comes to purpose. Absolutely agree with that as well. I think you'll find that over the course of this series, we agree with each other often. I totally agree with you on that point. I would say, of all of the questions, of all of the questions that are out there, I think probably one of the greatest questions in the sort of like the metaphysical space is, what is my purpose? What is humanity's purpose? What is the quote unquote our purpose? And you know, there are so many ways that you can approach that question and answer that question, or say that there isn't an answer to the question, or that everything is the answer to the question. But whether or not you feel like you have a purpose, or if you feel you do have a purpose, you know, like as you were saying, Skylar, you know, Evermore at its most basic level is teaching that, you know, people do have a purpose. And sometimes that purpose is just to find purpose. And, you know, I think that is, that there is something beautiful just to that simplicity of thought that, you know, Evermore teaches that you can find a purpose and you can realize it. You can work towards it and you can achieve it. I just think that's a very cool thought. Yeah.
Thank you. It's just the mode and structure of how it has functioned and how I have interacted with it. It just even subconsciously requires me to make choices of self-introspection. And it's just a very interesting medium that we get that from. And you get it in such a way, as we talked about during our fantasy episode, that this reality now become this ever more fantasy reality now becomes your primary reality. And so the impacts, the lasting effects that it has on you are in a lot of ways, and can be in a lot of ways, more impactful than something like a book or a movie, because you are physically experiencing it with all of your senses. And it's just very interesting.
Yes.
I actually know many people who love Evermore and also have a bit of a hard time in some moments because of that, where they are having to kind of experience some emotions and the realness of some things that perhaps they weren't expecting that night, which honestly, I think Evermore is simply asking you to look at your humanity and look at us as humans in this world. And this is a safe place to look at those emotions that sometimes are very difficult to process. I completely agree though, that they do a very good job at it.
Yeah. And I guess on the sort of thought of self-introspection, I have a big question for you guys. Potentially a series of big questions here. I guess, so first off, I would say, what, just for you as a person and for you as the listeners, feel free to write in at worldtalkers@gmail.com. With your response, worldtalkers.podcast@gmail.com. I corrected it. Right in there, or on our social medias or whatever, with your responses to these questions, because there's a lot to be said here. But what do you think is our purpose? Do we have a purpose? So on and so forth. So first question. What do you think is our purpose?
In life or in Evermore? What is
just
in general?
And in general. Second, what does, then with that in mind, what does Evermore teach you about that purpose? And then sort of the follow up to that, what has Evermore taught you about sort of your role in achieving that purpose? So what is the greater purpose? What has Evermore taught about that purpose? And what is it like basically inviting you to do to achieve that purpose?
You know, I honestly think, I mean, I think there is a, this is a very large question,
it is big, which is why I wanted to ask it in this big topic episode.
In my opinion, and I don't know if I can answer for everyone what, if there is a purpose.
And that's why we want you to write in.
In my opinion, through the lens of Evermore, though, it is specifically in my opinion, it is specifically learning from others and connecting with other human beings.
For sure.
And just in whether you enjoy people or not, or, you know, you're friends with them or not, the reality is everyone is important, and it is important for everyone to be there. What Evermore is showing me and how that works is oftentimes there are many characters, but what I really like to see is when they work together or when they interact, there is never a moment that I say, well, this person isn't needed. It is my true opinion that all people are needed, maybe not for every single process or task, right? Some things really do require just one person, but everyone is needed to be in the conversation, to be in the space. No one is a waste of space, I think is what I'm trying to say. And what was the third question?
And then your part to play in that purpose.
Yes.
What is Evermore kind of teaching you about that?
And honestly, for me, Evermore is very much teaching me to see value in people, from the unassuming to the seemingly all important. Everyone, as I've said here on the podcast before, everyone has a story and everyone deserves to tell that story. And I believe that I gain something from learning, from hearing, from listening and asking questions and connecting with that human soul. I think that's my answer.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Wow, that's a lovely answer.
I've had time to think about this as Chandler has spoken, and I still do not believe that I have the answer. I think that my purpose, or rather the purpose of, I guess, existence or my existence, is to experience love, both receiving and giving of love. I just think it is the strongest and most powerful emotion in its truest form. And recognized as it is, I think that oftentimes to achieve that, it is done through the kindness of being kind to yourself and being kind to others around you. Just kind of a self motto that I use rather frequently is that you can always be more kind. Because I need that reminder to myself, because I often get short and frustrated with myself. I don't have a lot of patience. And so I use that motto for myself, that I can always be more kind. And that includes being kind to myself. And I think Evermore is a very good mode of experiencing that, because every action you take is to, even if you are helping the villain of the season or whomever it may be in Evermore, it takes an attachment, an affinity, a caring to want to do the action for them. Whatever the mode or reason is behind it, even if I want to help someone, I care enough to do that. Even if the ulterior motive is to help myself, I'm still kind of, in a way, caring for myself. Maybe not always in the kindest of ways, but still through kind of that mode. I don't know. And what was the third question again?
And then your part in sort of achieving that and realizing that purpose.
I mean, I think just, I've kind of already mentioned it. We've already mentioned it before, is that you just do the thing and you can kind of get the feedback on whether or not it is for you or if it isn't for you. You help the Evermorian and you decide, yes, that is for me. This is what I want to continue doing, or no, I'm going to go somewhere else and continue doing those things over there. I think those are my answers. Those are very, very big answers. There are questions.
Some big questions, and that's what we want to do here in Elevating Evermore, is ask those bigger questions. And I guess just because I asked the questions, I should also answer the questions, right? So I guess for me, ultimately what it kind of comes down to, or what I what I think about the quote unquote our purpose is, you know, I think there's a lot to unpack with what that means and what that can ultimately go back to. But I think what purpose is for me is sort of my ability to determine my own purpose. I think human's purpose, mankind's purpose, your purpose, my purpose, is to be able to decide for ourselves what our own purpose is going to be. Was I trying to see how many times I could say purpose in like a single phrase I could as possible? Yes. And I did a lot. So pat on my back. So like it's just the notion that I can choose for myself what my purpose is going to be. And then that brings up a lot of interesting conversation on determinism, free will, and a lot of other stuff that we can get into, because does free will even exist? Maybe we'll talk about that someday. I see that in Evermore, the idea of people being able to decide, you know, my purpose was being chosen for me by another person. Sora's example is a fantastic example of that. Kadarin, for example, when he kind of threw up the proverbial bird to the fates, and sort of tore himself out of the greater tapestry of chance and fate and so on. He chose that no, my ability to make the decision for who I'm going to be and what I'm going to do is more important than what somebody else is going to line up for my life. So I think in terms of Evermore, I think it's just this space for people to realize you are in control of what you are working towards, what you want to achieve, what you desire, and so on, which I find a beautiful idea. And in terms of what it's inviting me to do as a part of it, what my purpose is to, like with the discussion on Zodi, figure out what it's going to be. You know, just it's hard not to go to Evermore and kind of ask the question of who am I going to be here? What is my purpose going to be here? What am I even going to try to get out of this night? You know, from like just like the most basic questions of like what am I even doing here? You know, it makes you find a purpose. And I think it's an easy lesson to learn, but a hard lesson to like really take out and apply fully. You know, when you leave the park, is well, I chose who I'm going to be and what I'm going to do in the park. Now, can I take that home and can I do that myself? Can I choose who I'm going to be at home? Can I choose to be better? Can I find that purpose in finding that sort of highest self-actualization? Can I realize myself as a human being? So that is my answer to those big questions. It's just a bigger answer that presupposes a lot of other bigger questions, but yeah, that is my thought there. With all of these things that, you know, we've been discussing with compassion and purpose, and it's kind of brought up this nature of, as Skylar has brought up, as we've all brought up, you know, this nature of self-introspecting, looking into oneself. It brings up, Evermore does, Evermore brings up the just a lesson that there is in humanity. You know, it is looking at the definition from that very beginning, sort of the collective group of human beings here on planet Earth. Like, you don't have humanity without the individual. The individual is fundamentally important to the notion of humanity. And it is each one of those pieces that is going to build up that greater thing. So I guess, you know, let's talk a little bit about the individual and, you know, being a part of this greater thing of humanity.
Thinking about that, I mean, it kind of goes back to, again, like you were saying, some of the original things that we were talking about. The individual, in my opinion, is where you can truly make that choice, is where you can make the change. And if you change one part of it, if you take if how to explain, if you were to take a tapestry and change the color of your thread, of your own thread, that has an impact on the whole of the picture. It may be a small impact, at least it may seem so at first, but eventually it can have rippling effects. It can have cascades. People can see, you can observe how other people have changed and then change yourself. And simultaneously, other people can decide, I will alter the structure of my thread. I want to go a different direction now. And so it changes the picture. It's a very interesting fact, where if you focus on the individual, you are simultaneously affecting the community.
Very much so. I really do agree with that. Additionally, I mean, kind of the individual nature or the individualistic nature of your experience at Evermore, just as kind of a park goer, can really be different from person to person to person. Some of us just in this room prefer asking questions. Some people like listening. Some people like the romances or the kind of guild quests, right? And in reality, I think what Evermore is saying is you deserve as an individual to find things that you enjoy. It doesn't always have to be for the greater good. It doesn't always have to be for the greater community. However, if you would like to, you can participate and be a vital member of the community and the greater good. Additionally, if you wanted to, you as the individual are a guild member, but there is this larger purpose, this larger thing going on, as well as kind of these larger groups. I myself am a part of the Rangers Guild, and I find myself doing tasks or things for the Rangers, and I essentially am definitely helping them as a group. But I'm also helping myself become closer to the group. So it's very interesting. That concept of the individual as well as the group is seen throughout Evermore, both in the story space as well as the kind of the quote unquote real world space. Very interesting.
Yeah, and you know, I would say one of the most curious things about the nature of the individual and the greater community and a greater good and so on and so forth, it's something that, you know, Evermore sort of is a what is a good word to say here, there's so many thoughts going through my head right now. I want this all kept in so people can know that this is my thought process is making strange noises to myself until I'm able to figure out what words to say. Evermore is a space where the nature of humanity is just demonstrably shown to be more than just your actions as an individual, more than just the actions of a community. And that it is more than just myself as a human interacting with one person, but it's also my greater interactions with everyone around me, the ripple effect that it has on those other people, that it's more than the species of the person that I'm speaking with. It doesn't matter if they're from lore or from mythos, if they're a funky spider creature or whatever, but that my capacity to sort of develop and understand myself as an individual is going to intrinsically change the way that I'm able to connect with those that I might not be able to understand otherwise, and will draw me towards those people. Because as I come to understand myself, I will naturally have to come to understand other people. Because if I don't understand these other people, There are narratives within me that I will never be able to find the resolution to without their answers and their perspectives and so on and so forth. That myself as the individual is imperfect without another individual. You know, there's a, I want to say it's a Buddhist concept, that, you know, the as you kind of brought this up, Skylar, you know, the nature of a tapestry, but that the humanity is a web of connections, and that each intersecting point on those on that web is a space where people connect. And it is in the connections that we're actually able to have a fully connected web. It's without the connections, we have no humanity. We have points. We have dots. We have free-floating dots. If we aren't able to connect them, we don't have anything. We need each other to be individuals. Without it, we can't become fully ourselves. What a cool thing, right? Like that. A greater group is how you become fully yourself. And that can be whatever it is that you want to call it. It can just be the greater sense of humanity. It can be your friends. It can be your family. It can be the evermore community. But the fully realized self is somebody that fully realizes that they need the others to complete their narrative.
That's very well put. I'm trying to process a lot of that because I really, really liked that. The imagery that you created with, I mean, dots on a blank canvas, this web, I just see it as individual dots, and the interactions are what we draw the lines for. That's what we make the brush strokes with. They inform the greater picture. And if I go back to my original why I think what our purpose is to love and be loved, can't really do that if there's nobody else around and if I don't really interact with people. I mean, there is some that you can do for yourself to a certain extent, but you lose out on the ability to experience a wider array of emotion and feeling. So that's very interesting there. So thank you for it was well put. I thought.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I had to jumble through a lot of my thoughts and try to figure out what it was I was even trying to say there. So I'm happy something came out that was at least moderately coherent. Because y'all listeners know that sometimes I'm not coherent at all, and so count myself lucky. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you had to conclude the lessons of the things that we've learned today, and sort of what your takeaways are from Evermore and humanity, like what would you have to say? Like what is humanity in Evermore?
For me, as I mentioned earlier, genuinely connecting with people is everything for me. And I think Evermore genuinely does that. It facilitates connection. It connects people to each other. It connects at worlds to one another in a story sense. It connects travelers to a new home. It is such a place of connection that for me Evermore shows humanity each and every time they open. It's no secret that Evermore, just like any other business, has had to make changes and has had times of struggle. But it shows that the lessons being taught there are more important, and the ability to have a safe spot to explore all of these ideas is more important than anything else. Evermore to me is all about humans and humankind and the good things of this earth that we can hold on to. And I don't think you can have Evermore. I don't think you can have this place, this good stuff, without them. I think it's inherently in it. It is just they do it so well.
It's inescapable.
It is inescapable.
It's a part of every, it is a part of the very way that it functions. The actors, the core experience is done through human interaction. It is, yeah. It is done through the mode of humanity.
And 100%. It is, Evermore is humanity, just like we are fantasy.
We are fantasy. We
Evermore are humanity.
Evermore is fantasy humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I am fantasy. I am humanity. It's nice to meet you.
I would agree with you on all of those points, Chandler. Evermore invites you to ask big questions, and those questions are important because it changes who you are.
And also they're okay with you taking a step back and not asking them every single moment.
Yeah.
But just experiencing and watching.
It also,
so you can ask those questions later on. I love it.
It shows in my mind too, in that regard, that there is no small question. They create interesting and interactive scenarios that allow you to be just thoughtful in general about what it means in any mode. And that is ultimately, I think, why, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why, but I guess at the core of it, that's why I love Evermore. It's because it is experiencing humanity and the good parts of humanity, as well as bad parts of humanity. But the bad parts of humanity that I experience allow me to better appreciate the good parts and understand them. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm, you know, sort of in my little notes that I wrote for myself as I was preparing for this episode, I wrote down a handful of things, and one of them, I find myself, you know, as I'm considering it now, I find that I actually greatly disagree with something that I wrote. I will tell you what I wrote down, and I will then tell you why I disagree with it now. It was just sort of remarking on something else that Immanuel Kant sort of once said. He sort of discussed in a number of his works, you know, in discussing the nature of humanity, that it should never be the means by which anything is done, but it is the ends unto itself. That humanity is the ends that of anything that you do. I agree with the second part of sort of that claim, that humanity is an end unto itself. But I also think that in sort of everything that is done, it is also the means by which the ends are attained. So I feel like I have to disagree with Kant once more, that humanity is the means by which it attains itself. It is a self-actualizing thing. It is something that is able to be itself because it is itself, and we are able to do it because we are it. So it's just kind of a curious, another curious little concept there. It just comes down to, you know, as we discussed in our sort of fantasy episode, like, we're always doing fantasy. And I would just say we're always doing fantasy because we are humanity. Like, it's just in our nature. I think that's just where I kind of have to conclude my thoughts, you know. You are going to do humanity every day. And you can choose to do it alone, but humanity is not something that is achieved alone. It is something that is achieved as a part of that greater web. You play a part in it by choosing to do humanity in yourself, in your compassion, in your purpose, in your pursuit of who you are and who you are going to be. But that isn't the end. It is a part of that greater purpose of connecting into that sort of greater divine web. So put yourself in there. Be a part of the story. Be a part of Evermore. Be a part of that greater narrative that humanity is telling. And so that is our episode today. Thank you for listening.
And again, we just want to note, this conversation could have kept going. We have many more thoughts on humanity. We will continue to look at this in other aspects. And so stay tuned for these new episodes, or this new series called Elevating Evermore.
I'm very excited to get back into it and to, as Evermore has opened back up again, to experience these types of things and discuss them, because I think there's definitely a lot there. So thank you, Evermore, for providing us with these opportunities to artistically analyze your creations. It is very much appreciated.
If we have actors or those that are going to be sort of helping tell the story of Evermore there at the park, and so I guess including the World Walkers as well that are listening, I think that this Elevating Evermore series is going to change the way that I approach doing Evermore. I think I'm going to end up asking more of these big questions of the characters themselves, because I want to know what these people's thoughts are on death and life and love and grief and depression and bargaining and acceptance, and, you know, like the whole like five stages of grief, whatnot. You know, I want to get a sort of a picture from them as to what these different characters think on these things, because they're all going to have different answers, because all of the different answers are a part of what Evermore is. You know, you get different thoughts from everybody, and collectively that is Evermore, which I think is going to be super awesome for me personally, because I think I've always struggled with finding the right questions to ask, but I've always been able to find questions that have no good answers, so I'm going to ask them those questions.
So prepare yourselves,
prepare
actors.
Yourselves with who knows what Daniel's going to ask this week, because I know like half the time. Oh, run away!
There, here he comes with his deep questions.
He's going to come with a question that has no good answer. Fantastic, good for him that he's going to get an answer that I have to come up with on the spot. maybe I'll, who knows how we'll approach that, but I want to ask bigger questions. Yeah. So, once again, thank you for, listening to, our podcast. It's been super fun. As Skylar said, the park is open. It opened up on June 13th. Tickets are for sale for $15 for, adults, $10 for the kiddos. And I want to, but below a certain age, they're free. Below the age of three,
three and under,
they are free. Three is free. Remember that. Yeah. Come to Evermore, be a part of the story, and experience a lot of these fantastic lessons that it has to teach you. And I guess just as a word to the wise, the lessons are always going to be there, but you will never learn them if you're not trying to learn. So like be open to the experience. And wants to have a good experience, and you will find these things that will change your perspectives, change you, and that's just some more thoughts from me.
Thank you so very much to everyone for listening. We really appreciate it. Please follow all things Evermore. You can do so by following the park at evermore.com on their website, as well as on their social media, which is at Evermore Park.
If you like what we do and you really enjoyed this episode, please take a moment and consider donating to our Patreon, patreon.com/worldtalkers, to allow us to continue to have conversations like this. It is very much appreciated, and we appreciate everyone who donates.
Yeah, you know, if you donate at that $10 tier, you can even suggest episodes for us to cover here. And who knows, maybe one day, because of you, we'll do an episode on how you can learn more about My Little Pony Friendship is Magic through the lens of Evermore. Who knows? That'll be up to you and your Patreon support. If you'd like to interact with us more, feel free to follow us on Facebook and Instagram with our handle at WorldTalkers. Call in and leave us a message at 801-332-9321, or shoot us an email at worldtalkers.podcast@gmail.com. We want to interact with you. We want to know what you're thinking, how you're doing, catch up with you, because you're important to us. We want to hear from you.
Please also consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And as we sign off, Bill and Ted said it best: be excellent to each other, and we'll see you
beyond the portal.